All right. Well, again, my name's Tom. Thanks for coming this morning. I'm one of the small group leaders here at the Rio, and just kind of filling in for Steve here this morning. So as we're waiting for everyone to come in here, too, I just got a question for you guys. So we're just going to be talking today about patience. And so I got a handout. Make sure you guys all get a handout as they're going to pass out here around, too. So, a question for you guys. Have you ever blown it before? Every time I see this picture, it's pretty funny. So I guess what I mean is, have you ever said something you shouldn't have? Have you ever lied, hurt someone else by what you've said, or your actions, or your words? And it might have been a small thing, or it might have been a big thing. If you've ever done that, go ahead and raise your hand. So, should be just about everyone, right? So, I wish I could relate to you guys, you know, but by being up here means I never blow it, you know. So, just kidding. I've probably blown it more than most of you. Combined, I'm going to share kind of a story, too, about how I blew it last weekend. I had a chance. This is where I went this last weekend, is this beautiful setting in eastern Colorado. I had a chance. I'm from Oregon, eastern Oregon. I'm from Oregon. I was born and raised there. My family's there. And I went back last weekend for my cousin's wedding. I've known her. We were real close growing up, and I was excited to be there. So I went to kind of show my support. It was just going to be me going out there, but I was going to meet up with my parents, my sister, and we're going to drive over to Eastern Oregon and go to the wedding. So, but I decided to bring my daughter, Esther. She's under 2, so she's still free to fly. So I surprised my parents, my sister. I remember when we walked in the airport, my mom started jumping up and down when she saw my daughter. She was really excited to see her. They don't have a chance to come out here as much as they'd like, so just being in Oregon. I had a great time. We went out there. Just kind of a long weekend. It was a beautiful setting. I think this is the lodge right here, and these are the mountains in the background. It's just a beautiful place. I don't know. It kind of made you want to stay there for a long time. Each of our rooms had, you know, the fireplace you click on, and TVs everywhere, and these really nice cabins. And this is kind of the backdrop too of where they got married. Just look over these the mountains, and it was just really stunning. It was beautiful. On the drive out there as well, we had a chance to stop at, it's called Multnomah Falls. It's one of the highest falls in the United States, and it's just beautiful. It was great to get a chance to go back to Oregon. It was so green, and there's beautiful waterfalls, and we just had a great time there, too, the weekend. And also in the weekend, I guess just a little bit of background on myself, I can be pretty stubborn, and I grew up in a family where other people can also be pretty stubborn, and I guess that sometimes when you get each other to get us all together, especially in a kind of a packed car with a road trip with a little two-year-old in the middle of us, I don't know, it can be a little challenging at times. And so we had a great weekend. It was a beautiful wedding. But I definitely said some things I shouldn't have, made some mistakes. I was really proud. I didn't think through what I was saying before I said it. And as a result of that, it still was a good weekend, but it could have been a lot better. So I'm just going to go through this weekend a little bit, kind of what happened, mistakes I made, and hopefully they help you out too. So the reason I blew it this last weekend, just a result of a few of many decisions. The first was I wasn't patient. I just kind of got irritated. I got frustrated by little things that shouldn't have really meant anything, but I did. I didn't think about the cost of my choices. I didn't properly prepare my heart, my mind for the interactions with my family. I knew it was going to be challenging based on our history, sometimes with my family, and also since I don't get a chance to see them too much. Just little things that, you know, kind of once you know someone, you know kind of the buttons to push, and I know it could be a challenge, and so I didn't properly prepare my heart and my mind for that. Number 3, I was just proud. I thought my ways were the best ways and didn't think I was wrong. And the last one is that I didn't think through what I was saying before I said it, and kind of just gave full vent to my speech and my temper. Just kind of let myself go instead of kind of keep myself in check. So I'm just going to go through these steps here throughout the weekend, what happened, and just kind of share about that. So, but actually, I was planning to speak on patience before I went. And then I was having some regrets and kind of indecision after I came back. I thought about changing my topic. Maybe I shouldn't speak on this. I can't speak from a place of kind of a victory in this area. And I don't know. Then I was able to really rest and just in God's grace in this too. I just realized that I'm different than I was before. I realized that this isn't who I am in Christ. I realized that, you know, this is, it's not as frequent as it used to be as far as these patterns in my life. And God's growing in me. And I don't know about you guys too, but it seems like when it seems like you're learning something or growing in something, that's the area you're tested in as well. So since I was speaking on this topic or kind of planned to speak on it, I feel like I was kind of tested and failed in a lot of ways. But the reason I chose this topic initially was because of this. It's you can see it's like a little truth pack. And so my co-leader in the small group, John Mole, encouraged us to make out a truth pack, certain verses. What it is kind of a certain some verses on a certain topic, either you want to grow in or you want to learn more about in the Bible. And just keep it to verses in the Bible. So two of the areas I chose were anger and speech. And I was looking at the verses, especially on anger, I realized how much patience is used as well. And maybe you guys think, oh, well, that's Tom, you should know that, you know? Of course, they're related. And I didn't realize it. Maybe that was probably my problem, is I didn't realize they were really connected. And so as the more I read through the verses, I was like, man, sometimes either my anger or my temper, things like that, are connected to my lack of patience. And so I really saw how they're linked and how they go hand in hand. And so I think as a result, too, of even looking at the word in that way, too, that it is possible to be a good friend, spouse, parent, son or daughter, brother or sister, by applying what the Bible says about patience in your relationships. I think another way to put this even would be that a key to good relationships and patience, or patience is a key to being a good friend, spouse, parent, son or daughter, brother or sister. And I really think without patience, it isn't too possible. So I guess one thing, too, before we pray is I guess one of the examples in my life in this area is my wife. She's been extremely patient with me. I guess being married to me for 8 years, she's she's really patient just in that fact alone. But she's been just with our kids, and just her life is really an example of patience in my life. So before we get going too far, I just want to pray and ask God to bless our time here. So, God, thanks for this morning. Thanks for the chance to be here. Again, God, we thank you that you're with us. Again, we want to lift up Miranda and her family and the other families of those soldiers as well. They lost their lives, giving their life for us to allow us to be here. Pray to be with them. Pray to help us, God, right now to just remove other distractions in our lives. God, to focus on you. God, you speak through me. God, use me as your vessel. And I pray that you would just have us all take away so much here. God, this is an area I feel like you've been really working on my heart, God, and over the years, and I really, especially freshly, feel like you're really doing a great work in changing me, God, and making me different. God, I pray for all of us, God, you'd help us to be different. God, you'd help us to be patient, to realize the importance of it, and just help us do that here this morning. God, thanks for this morning. Thanks for bringing everyone here. Just ask that you bless our time. Just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, there's a lot of things. I guess patience is a pretty broad topic, and so I'm not going to cover too much as far as, driving, other things like that this morning, but I'm just going to focus on what patience is and the areas kind of I failed this last weekend and what the Bible says about them and how we can overcome them. I don't think patience is that hard. I mean, all I have to do is not be around anyone or drive anywhere, you know, and patience is easy, you know, that's all it takes. If I'm home by myself, doing whatever I want to do on my time frame, it's easy, I don't have to be patient. But it is challenging just in living in life here too. So we're just going to talk through what is patience. A good definition I found was the quality of bearing with provocation, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. Another way we say in our household is just kind of wait, no fuss. We got a 6-year-old, almost 4, and almost 2-year-old. So kind of try and put it in plain terms. But today we live in just a fast food kind of 4G, I want it now world. We don't have to wait for anything. Everything is just a click or a swipe away. And just live in an impulsive world where we don't like to delay gratification. We want it, and we want it now. To have or show patience is countercultural. Will definitely be different than those around us. I think we consider it suffering to have to wait for anything nowadays. We assume we have the right to have what we want without waiting. But God really values patience and wants us to develop it as well. And it also allows us to be a witness and stand out for others. So kind of the first thing here too is patience is bearing with one another and sticking it out together. So patience is bearing with one another and sticking it out together. Colossians 3:12-13 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." I really like this verse a lot. It's just, I think just the idea of clothing ourselves with these areas, clothing ourselves with patience, kind of wearing patience, knowing it's a big deal. And that's why I think, too, we should expect people to rub us the wrong way, our families, friendships, and the church. I think sometimes we don't. We don't expect people to be different than us. It's kind of why it says to bear with each other, right? To kind of help, not necessarily put up with people, but to bear with each other and forgive one another. Just to realize people are different than us, and we just need to bear with each other in that. If everyone was made the same and agreed, we wouldn't need this verse. We wouldn't need, work out any differences, but we're not the same. And we need to resolve our differences by forgiving each other. I think it's normal in the world just to have differences, just to check out, right? In marriages, we see it all the time. In churches, we see it all the time. In other places, we see it all the time. When there's any differences, we just like to check out, we leave, and we're done. But God calls us to work things out, to be patient, be committed to each other, and restore broken relationships. Now, the second part is patience accepts others and doesn't try and fix them. Romans 15:7 says, "Accept one another, then just as Christ has accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." It's a good verse. It's a challenging verse. I think it's, kind of accepting, being patient with one another goes hand in hand. I think the first part, as far as to accept one another, the important part is to realize, well, how did Christ accept us? I think that's, for me, it's been the first step of kind of realizing that. And was it when we had our act together, when we're all cleaned up, when we're all put together, everything's ready? Or is it with all our faults, with all our issues, with all our weaknesses? I think a lot of people struggle to come to church or to come to God because they feel like their act isn't together. They feel like they've messed up. God can't accept me. God can't forgive me for this, whatever it is. But the truth is God wants us to come to him with all our flaws. That's how God accepts us now. You know, I don't know all that's going on with you guys here this morning, but I just know God accepts us. And that's kind of the bar he has for us, too, is that he wants us to accept one another. He wants us to fully accept people for who they are instead of trying to fix them and change them. Broken glasses. So my wife and I have been married almost 8 years. It'll be 8 years and 2 weeks. And when we first got married, you know how some things kind of maybe can annoy you, are cute at first in a relationship? Oh, that's kind of cute, you know. So we were given a gift to go to Mazatlan, Mexico for a honeymoon. It's beautiful. And someone gave us kind of a gift of a timeshare when we were down there. When we were down there, you know, they gave us a full kitchen and things like that. And I don't know, my wife kind of dropped a few glasses, broke a few. I thought, no, no big deal. It's kind of cute, you know. Then we got back. And you guys know when you get married, you kind of register for certain things. I want this place. I want the silverware. I want these glasses. And so we registered for some glasses. But the glasses we chose were like the thinnest, smallest glasses you can get. And I think as we're unpacking them, I know my wife, Jenna, she dropped another one. And it's kind of over the next little while, many of our plates and glasses and everything else was gone because it had been broken. But instead of just accepting my wife, I don't know, I think sometimes as a guy we think, oh, we just need to fix things, right? There's something wrong, I need to fix it. So instead of just saying, you know, oh, that's fine, honey, no big deal, I tried to fix it. So I'm like, okay, so where were you in relation to glass? You know, okay, the glass is on the table here. And maybe if you move it farther in. I just tried to fix the situation. And instead of just accepting my wife would always remind me, well, I don't have any speeding tickets. And so it's kind of like a justification. Well, you know, I've broken a few glasses, no big deal. But I've had a few speeding tickets. And she's like, well, So you think about it, it's no, not really a big deal. And so there's been just some challenges in that too. Instead of me not accepting my wife for who she was and all the good that there is, just kind of being fixing my attention on this one thing that she would, you know, she'd break glasses. Especially in El Paso, we've lost a lot more having tile floors. If anything touches that, as you guys know, a tile, it's gone. You know, it's shattered. You find pieces later too in the corners of everything. But so I think too, that kind of leads us into the next point too, is that patience is wise and overlooks offenses. In Proverbs 19:11, it says that a person's wisdom yields patience. It is to one's glory to overlook an offense. It's true. We're wise when we're patient, and it's to our glory to overlook an offense. We should overlook offenses and take them to God in prayer. God wants to fight for us instead of us trying to fight it out ourselves. And we need to overlook offenses and bring them to the Lord. This is my kids, Itai, Daniel, and Esther. Like I said, Itai's almost, there's six, Daniel's almost four, and Esther will be two here pretty quick. And we kind of keep working on them as far as, you know, kids kind of, they take a toy from one another and, you know, give me that back. And someone pushes one, the other one pushes them back. And they just want justice to be done. They like to retaliate. So we're really working with them as far as getting help for myself, for my wife. And instead of kind of taking things in their own manners and taking their things in their own hands, like, come get us. Okay, if someone does something to you, come get us and we'll fight for you. We'll take care of it. Instead of just kind of justice to be done right then and retaliating. And I guess this has been an example to me as I've thought through this, is how much more with us and God too. We need to, man, we want to, someone cuts us off in traffic, something happens, we need to make it right. We need to cut them off too, or we need to do this, or someone hurts our feelings, we need to hurt them back, you know, whether on Facebook or emails or other things too. Last night I was here kind of practicing for my talk, and they were towing cars out in the front of people who parked for there's a big bar on the backside here. We do the bar outreach on every Saturday night. And they're towing some cars here of people that kind of parked there and went over to the bar. And I guess not to get into too much background, but one guy came back and his car wasn't there. he was livid. He was so mad. It's actually, I was preparing, and I was kind of practicing my talk, and then I heard this noise. I'm like, ah, oh, it sounds like a truck. I'm like, that sounds like a tow truck. And so I ran out, and they're trying to tow my car away too. And so fortunately, I stopped them. They had it hooked up, and they're trying to, you know, pull it up onto the flatbed. But they've had problems with people from the bar kind of coming back and being drunk and being stupid. And there's a lot of different businesses here, and people haven't been able to get to their businesses because of at the bar. They have things that, you know, they do party balloons and things like that. And so I think in that too, I just, instead of just, you know, taking it, you know, out on the tow truck guy or anything, it's like, man, I need to let God fight for me, you know. It's a good example of kind of my message even last night too. But this other guy, one of the soldiers, was livid. He wanted justice. He wanted it now. He was calling everyone he could, the tow companies, the other companies, the kind of the property managers, and trying to make sure he got his car back right then. And I think, man, just the example of my kids, and if we take a step back and are able, okay, God, you know what's going on, and ask God to fight for us, I think he will. Number two is the cost of our choices and how to prepare ourselves to deal patiently with others. So, again, going back to my weekend away, just some of the choices I made. We had a great time. And one of the things there, too, is it's pretty exhausting. There was no backup for me with my daughter, Esther. It was kind of me taking care of her. And I'm not used to it all the time, just being myself. But I knew that she's going to wake up early, and it was going to be waking up with her. And so I needed to go to bed relatively early. But I think, you know, I was enjoying the fireplace in our room and the TV that's right up above, and we've chosen not to have a TV in our house, so it was nice having a TV. I was checking out the ESPN draft from the NFL draft and kind of seeing where the different picks went. And then I was kind of flipping around the channels, and I found Die Hard was on. So I'm like, oh, Die Hard, I'll watch Die Hard. And but I should have been going to sleep because I knew my daughter was going to wake up early. My plan was to get up early before she woke up so I could kind of prepare my heart and my mind for the day. I knew it might be kind of challenging, because the night before I'd already had a few things to say, and I was like, I need to get up and really prepare my heart and my mind. But I didn't do that because I watched Die Hard instead. And even though it's a good movie, it wasn't probably the best choice for me there, too. The cost was that fighting with my family, disunity, and hurt feelings as a result of that. We make trades like that all the time. This next section is from this book. It's called Alter Ego by Craig Groeschel, I think it's called. And it's just Becoming Who God Says You Are. I encourage you guys to read it. It kind of talks about if you've ever felt insecure, inadequate, insufficient, and kind of talks about our identity in Christ. And it's been a book that's really been impacting me a lot since I've read the Word. So if you guys need that title, you can get with me too. I can give that to you. I'm kind of halfway through right now, still working my way through it. But he had one kind of section in there on patience, and I took a few quotes from that as well. So he talked about instant gratification versus waiting on God's best. I think in this world too, we want it now, instead of waiting on God's best. In pursuit of the immediate pleasure, people trade the ultimate for the expendable. And this is true in our marriages. This is true kind of going into marriage. This is true on a lot of things, that we trade the ultimate for the expendable. In the example of Esau here, you guys remember who Esau is? You remember who his brother is? Jacob, right? And his Isaac and Rebecca are his parents. And so we're just going to read a little passage from him real quick here as well. So you guys can either follow along right here or open up your Bible. So it's Genesis 25, 29 through 34. All right. It says, once Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. That's why he was also called Edom, which means red. Jacob replied, first, sell me your birthright. Jacob's like, a little opportunity here, right? He's hungry. He's starving. Maybe I can get something out of this, right? Look, I am about to die, Esau said. What good is the birthright to me? But Jacob said, swear to me first. So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. And so I don't know all about birthright, what that means, but as the oldest son, Esau had rights to everything Isaac had. Everything Isaac had was going to be his. And so I guess in the moment he was starving, he was famished, he kind of traded that all. He said, it's not really that. I'm starving, I need food, and so I want the immediate instead of the long-term blessing there. He traded the ultimate and settled for the temporary. He's trading the ultimate, his birthright, and settling for the temporary bowl of stew, what Esau did. He thought, I need to eat, I'm going to die if I don't. I don't know maybe he'd been gone a long time, I don't know more details of it, but, or maybe he was just being dramatic, right? I'm not sure. But I think we do the same thing. We trade what God says, which is the ultimate, to have what our selfish desires want in the temporary and the immediate. So we say, God, I want this, you know? But then we're like, that's pretty hard to get. I don't know if this is a little easier, so I'll do this instead of waiting on the best there for God. So instead of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we sing songs, about that. It would have been the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. That's amazing. If Esau wouldn't have traded his birthright, that's maybe the biggest blunder of all time. I don't know. It's pretty crazy that he traded that and the honor and just the that relationship by just selling his birthright there. So don't trade the best for the temporary and settle for less than what God wants for you in your life. Like I said, it's challenging sometimes to see beyond that, to have perspective and to see beyond that, but God doesn't want us to settle. He wants to give us the best. So be patient and live a life of patience. How do we do this? How do we live a life of patience? I think because we can pray this morning, we say, God, help me be patient, or whatever your struggle area may be. God, help me in this area. But it's not going to change overnight. It takes time. We have to devote ourselves to spend time with God in prayer, in the Word, and with others. Also, by keeping a right perspective, using self-control and waiting on God's timing. Like I said with Esau, he didn't have a correct perspective when he wanted the stew and traded his birthright. Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So what are these four elements? The apostles' teaching, I think just being a learner, being teachable, just showing up, being a church, being listening, being taught, fellowship, just committed to other believers in a local church, breaking your bread, just remembering communion, remembering what Christ has done for us, that his blood was shed, that his body was given up for us, and prayer, just getting alone to seek the Lord, or joining others to seek the Lord as well. I think this is important that the disciples devoted themselves to these things, and we need to devote ourselves to these things as well. I think as we do these things, God just works on our character and works on us as we do that. We also must renew our mind in what is true. This takes time, but we must be intentional in it. If we do not, we will end up just like Esau, trading the ultimate for the temporary. Philippians 4:9 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. It's a pretty lofty list, but God wants us to think about those things. God wants us to almost have it as a checklist. Are we thinking about these things? Is it true? Is it noble? Is it right? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it praiseworthy? Are we thinking about these things? But how do we think about these? How do we kind of renew our mind in this? We've got to seek the Lord and be in the Word, memorizing, meditating, studying, and obeying it. I think it's not enough just to read the Word and kind of almost check off maybe a spiritual box. I've done that. I can continue to do that. I've read my time in the Lord, but we need to seek to obey it, seek to memorize it and study it. And God really works on our heart when we do that. Just like I made that truth pack. And because of that, I think God has really opened up a door into my life of an area that, I don't know, that God really wants to touch and move in. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. That God wants us to be transformed. And the way to do this is renewing our mind. Like I said, kind of thinking about those specific things we had, or we've got to be really intentional and cutting out the other stuff in our lives and focusing on that. And I wasn't prepared in Oregon. I hadn't done this in Oregon. I traded, like I said, I watched Die Hard instead of getting up early and seeking the Lord and preparing my heart. And as a result of that, there was a cost to my decision. Number three is that we need to recognize that we're proud and we need God's help. I think the first step of being humble is recognize that we're proud. It helps a lot. Another quick story. We were playing a game out there in Oregon, too. I brought it with me. It's kind of a fun game. And my sister and I kind of got into it, how to correctly play the game. Maybe you've been in a game before. You're like, no, this is how you do it. Then you're like, well, these are house rules. And so it kind of overrides the actual game rules. But we're kind of arguing back and forth about how to play the game and how to play it correctly. But I would not budge. I'm like, no, this is my game. This is how we play it. She's like, no, this is how we play it. And she was right at the end. But I just went back down. I was proud. I thought, my way is the best way. I know best. And instead of having a fun, enjoyable time with our family playing the game, my dad kind of quit playing the game. And we stopped playing early instead of just having a good time playing the game. So I think our pride really is hurtful and can kind of destroy and hurt other relationships around us. I really saw, too, how patience is connected to pride. And like I said, it's definitely learned and doesn't happen overnight. Ecclesiastes 7:8-9. This has become just my favorite verses right now. It says, finishing is better than starting. Patience is better than pride. Control your temper, for anger labels you a fool. I start a lot of things, and so it's good to just say finishing is better. Patience is better than pride. And I don't want to be labeled as a fool, and anger labels us as a fool. Rather, I'd rather be labeled as wise or as patient instead. So God's working in my heart. I think God's working on all of us when we admit that we are proud and we need help. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. It's just interesting just to do nothing out of selfish ambition. Do nothing in pride, just kind of looking out for only our own interests. Instead of that, right, value others more than yourselves. Think about other people as more important than yourself. 1 Peter 5:5-6, we think about this a lot with in terms of pride. It says, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And so God opposes the proud. It's definitely true that when we're proud, God is against us. God is not always for us when we're proud. And God is, I don't want God against me. I want God for me. I want God to be giving me grace. So to do that, it kind of gives us the secret in the next verse, to humble ourselves, that he can lift us up, that he can give us grace when we need it, instead of being proud and thinking we have it all figured out and we can do it ourselves. The fourth part is, do not speak without thinking it through, and it is never good to give full vent to our speech and our temper. Going back to my trip again. man, the setting's so beautiful. I don't know why. I should have just enjoyed the time and enjoyed the mountains and instead of the alternative. But the morning we left, we had to get up early, and our flight was going to leave pretty early. So got up about 5 a.m. and didn't get too much sleep the night before. But we got up and kind of packing things up. And I asked my sister, I said, hey, can you hang on to this? I think it was the diaper bag, and not put it in the car with everything else, and because I had to pack some other stuff first, and it's really no big deal, right? So I just said, hey, hold on to this, don't put it in there. And so she put it in there anyway. It's kind of right with the spot where I was going to, I don't know, and it was kind of packed with a stroller and, you know, different bags and stuff. And so, but still, it's not a big deal. All I had to do is take the diaper bag out and put the other thing away. But I was like, hey, sis, you never listen to me, you know? You never kind of follow what I'm saying, or, you know, don't do what I ask, you know, and just totally proud, and kind of went on to start another fight and kind of a quarrel with her. And later she's saying, hey, can you just show me grace? Can you show me some grace, please? I said, no, I'm tired of showing you grace. And just, I don't know how ugly that is, just my heart in that, you know. Just, I mean, how much has God shown me grace? How much in that moment did God have to show me grace? But, and I just kind of realized that as well, and for all those things, kind of the mistakes I made this last week, and I made it right. I kind of asked forgiveness to my family and restored the relationships, but I was definitely careless in my speech. I didn't think through what I was saying, and I kind of gave full vent to my speech and my anger there, my temper. Good way is just to be a good listener, just to slow down our speech and our actions. We're trying to work with this with our kids as well, just to be a good listener, that they can't obey or they can't follow through with what we say unless they listen. So they got to stop what they're doing and listen to us. James 1:19b says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. I think it's so hard because, man, I think a lot of times this weekend I forgot the listening part altogether, and I was quick to speak, and I was quick to become angry. It says, be quick to listen, to slow to speak, and slow to become angry. This is one of our verses with the Memory Madness program as well. And it's a great verse. Proverbs 21:23 says, watch your words and hold your tongue. You'll save yourself a lot of grief. We taught this to our kids too. And you know, sometimes it's easier to teach your kids with a kind of a song, you know? So we're like, watch your words and hold your tongue. You'll save yourself a lot of grief. You know, kind of do like a little rap and stuff. And I can't do it very good, but they're always, every time we kind of share this verse, they're like, Dad, what about that second part? You know, and you kind of do the little beat thing. But this is a good verse. We need to watch our words and hold our tongue. So we're trying to work with that in our kids. I need to work on that myself. But it is true, you'll save yourself a lot of grief. Proverbs 18:13 says, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. Again, it's listening first. If we don't do that, it's folly and shame. And just don't give full vent to our speech and our temper. Like I did kind of when I said, hey, I'm tired of showing you grace. I'm done. I don't know. It's not how God treats us, and we shouldn't treat each other that way as well. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. And I was a fool at times for sure, but God wants us to be wise, to keep ourselves under control, to use self-control when we speak, when we act, and kind of with our family members, those that are closest to us as well. And Proverbs 13:3 says, he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. So we need to guard our lips. We need to realize, kind of set a guard in front of our lips and realize that what we say can really be hurtful. When we speak rashly, it can come to ruin. We can end up destroying relationships and people we care about a lot, and it can end in just bad. It's never good when we don't guard our lips, when we're kind of free with our mouth and our tongue. So our job is just to be humble. Our job is to trust and obey God, to be patient with others, knowing that his ways are better than ours. Oswald Chambers said, one step forward in obedience is worth years of study about it. One step forward in obedience is worth years of study about it. I think this is true. I've been studying patience and anger and different things for a long time, but I never connected them. I just studied them instead of taking a step of obedience in them. I think it's really true. I think sometimes we can just study things, but unless we actually strive to put it into practice, it's not going to change us. We won't really grow in it. And kind of like I said at the beginning, too, that it is possible to be a good friend, spouse, parent, son or daughter, brother or sister, by applying what the Bible says about patience in our relationships. And again, like I said, another way to put that is by having patience. Patience is a key to be a good friend, a good spouse, parent, son or daughter, brother or sister. So I think it's really important in that too. So I think, man, my trip to Oregon could have been just a sweet time enjoying the mountains, enjoying being at the wedding of my cousin, enjoying being with my family. And we still had a great time, but it could have been a lot sweeter if I would have done these things. So hopefully this can help you guys as well. And I don't know if it's anger or patience or lack of patience for you guys. But for me, God's really working in my heart. And I feel like really changing me in this too. So just a challenge for you guys too. Just this week, try and see the good in others and treat them with patience, especially those close to you when they rub you the wrong way. So if there's some things that annoy you or frustrate you or kind of bother you, just kind of trying to overlook those things and try and see the good. The second part is just to seek to grow in patience by memorizing verses in that area related. Or if there's another area you really struggling to, you can do that. So I got one more handout I wanted to give you guys too, just kind of the fruit of patience and waiting. Not an extensive list, but it's a lot of verses on that as well. So I encourage you guys maybe to even make up a truth pack, to have a list of verses on a certain topic that you struggle in, whether it's this topic or another's. It's just impacted my life a lot. So thanks again. If they're passing these out, I'll go ahead and close our time. So just make sure if you didn't get one of the handouts, we'll have some in the back as well. So I'll just go ahead and pray real quick and close the time. God, thanks for this morning again. God, thank you that you are working in our hearts. God, you haven't given up on us. God, even when we blow it over and over again. God, I thank you that your grace is sufficient for us. God, you love us, and you have a plan for our lives. I just thank you, Lord, for working in my life. God, for teaching me these things and working. God, I just pray that you'd help us today to go out and love others. God, help us to be patient with our spouses, with our kids, with those we work with, those around us. God, I just thank you for just being patient with us. I pray that we do that with others as well. God, thanks for this morning. Again, I just pray that whatever, God, was not from you this morning would be left out, but whatever is from you, God, people would keep in their minds and think about. So just love you, God. Thanks for the opportunity to share, and just pray you bless the rest of our day, and we really walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks.